always feel kind of guilty sitting during the song, especially those that say standing. It reminds me of the story somebody listed all the songs that some of us who are singing standing on the promises are just sitting on the premises. And so I feel like I'm just sitting on the premises instead of standing with everyone. I leave this door open when somebody leaves it open. You know, I could get up and go close it, but I want to see who, you say, who the OCD person is or the perfectionist or, yeah, I know Mel will close it, David will close it, and now we've got Michael. So we're learning who all these people are that can't pay attention to the sermon if there's an open door over there. Your just eyes go to that door, and you think that door needs to be closed. It needs to be closed. It needs to be closed. You don't hear a thing I'm saying during that time. We have a lot of things sometimes like that that bothers us, and I would tell you another one David told me about, but I don't want you to know about it. Because it bothers David, and he told me about it, and that's why I think about it. And I don't. And by the way, if nobody else closed that door, I would close it. So I can just put it off a little bit longer than some of you can. We're talking about the church, and we've been looking at various ways that the church is described in the New Testament. And each time we look at a point about it, that illustrates why Jesus uses that terminology. Here he refers to it as a building. He said, I will build my church. And that carries with it the authority. The builder has a right to build it the way he wants to build it. And so we don't have the right to come in there and change things up. Say, well, I don't like this part of it. I don't think I'll take that out and put something else in here or whatever. We don't have that right. Jesus is the builder. He is the authority in that. And so it's good to look at each one of these times that we look at something about the church being compared to something, what it actually is being compared to and why it is. And this carries with it the authority. Matthew 16:18, I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. The King James translates Hades hell. And for that reason, many people think that he's saying that hell will not prevail against, Satan will not prevail against, that is true. But I think in the context, Hades is the unseen place of the dead or the grave. And to me, that's what Jesus is saying. My death is not going to prevent me from building my church. Satan thinks it will. So Satan thinks he's going to win when Jesus goes to that cross. But the gates of Hades, his death is not going to prevent that. Now, it doesn't matter if you know, Satan's not going to prevent it either. But I think the fact that the King James translated that gates of hell, and every place Hades is used, the King James translated it hell, which presents some problems in some places. But at any rate, Jesus said, nothing's going to keep me from building my church. He was going to build it, and the terminology of the church as a building is used a lot of times in Scripture, and we'll be looking at a number of the ways that it's used in talking about this in the New Testament. The church was built by Christ, but the church, of course, is not a building. It is the people, and many people in the religious world talk about the church. Well, I'm going to go down to the church today. And nobody there, but he's going down to the church today. He means the church building. Sometimes we use it that way. But the church is not the building. It's the church building. It's the place the church meets, but it's not the church. The church is the people. And some of us remember that little saying, what was it? Here's the church house, here's the steeple. Open up the door and you see all the people. The people are the church. And so we need to realize that. Let's look at the significance of the church as a building. First of all, we see that Jesus is the cornerstone and the foundation. Does this building have a cornerstone? What's on the cornerstone? Yeah, this night here at the corner. Many times they put that in there and put the date it was built and all that. Who knows when this was built? 56. So some of you people read things as you come in the building. So Jesus is the cornerstone, and that's in building that is meant to be the most important part of the building. It's what lays the foundation of the way the building is going to, the strength of the building is in the cornerstone and the foundation, of course. Matthew 21:42, Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected had become the chief cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." And so the builders, the prophets, the Jewish people rejected Jesus. They said, "Oh, well, this stone's not good. Let's throw it away." And it became the chief cornerstone. And so that's what he's saying, that it was the most important one, and they rejected it. So the Jewish people rejected Jesus as the Messiah. In 1 Peter 2, verses 6 through 8, "Therefore it is also contained in Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore to you who believe he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they were also were appointed.'" And so here again, the reference to the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone that the builders rejected again. The Jewish people, for the most part, rejected him as the Messiah, and he became the chief cornerstone, the most important part in the building of the people of God. So we are God's building as people. 1 Corinthians 3:19-17. "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." Talking about the church here, Paul is. "According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So Jesus Christ is the foundation here. "Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." And so he's talking about here building on the foundation of Jesus. And if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. He's talking about building the building, and the we're going to see later that we are the building blocks of the building. And so as we build, we add more blocks. And it's our purpose to go into all the world and preach the gospel and bring more people to Christ to increase the size of the building. And sometimes we bring people in that aren't the best quality. And they don't remain strong. They don't remain faithful. And so they're going to be burned. The stones are going to stand, but that wood, hay, and straw that was built, people that really weren't willing to do the will of God, they're going to be burned up. But we'll be saved, yet as though by fire. It's kind of like, you know, our house burned, but we were alive. And the first thing people say is, that's what's the most important thing. We're alive. We may have lost our house, but we're alive. And so we may lose the people that we bring to Jesus because they don't remain faithful. But thankfully, we were saved. And so that's the idea that's presented here on that. But we are the building. We are the temple of God that was being built on the foundation of Jesus. In Ephesians 2, verse 19 through 22. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple into the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And so God dwells in us through his Spirit that he gave us when we were baptized and that gift of the Spirit was given to us. God dwells in us. And so we see a number of different references here. We're no longer strangers and foreigners. We're fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God. We've looked at that. And built on the foundation, of course, of the apostles and prophets, and Jesus being the chief cornerstone. Sometimes the foundation is referred to as being Jesus being the foundation. Sometimes it's referred to as being the apostles and the prophets, and the teachings being the foundation that the church is built upon. 1 Peter 2, 4 through 5. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. We see that in a lot of these, that he is the chief cornerstone. He is the one that God chose, and everybody else threw him away. He was not important. But here, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So here we see that we are those living stones that are part of God's building. And so it's interesting that he uses that terminology. I don't know if any of us would have come up with that concept of trying to describe the church some way if it hadn't been revealed to us in Scripture that way. But we are living stones being built and so many times referred to the temple of God, the church of God. And so we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And so we are living stones, and we're added to that chief cornerstone that was chosen by God, that was rejected by man. So we are God's building. Then we see that we must do our part in keeping the building or temple of God fit for habitation. You know, being who he is, the Son of God, and God is inhabiting us as the building of God through his Spirit, then we have to be concerned about how we're living our lives and what kind of things we're doing. As we looked at, the hay and stubble is going to be burned up. So if we're not living our lives as we should, we're not going to be a stone that's going to withstand the fire. We must be sure we have the proper foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There are religious groups that have the foundation built on other things. The Catholic Church, for example, builds their foundation on their tradition. And they say their tradition takes precedence over the Bible, over the Word of God. And so if there's conflict between their tradition and the Word of God, they accept the tradition over the Word of God. Many people build a foundation of humanism, and they just kind of build it the way they want to, and they're really the foundation of the building, and it's just built on whatever they want. And do your own thing, and it's okay with God. And some build a foundation on men. And call themselves after men. Luther, one of the things he said was that he never wanted anyone to call themselves after him. And yet that very same thing happened. And they called those who were following Luther's teachings now as Lutherans. And something that Martin Luther did not want to happen. And so we build foundations lots of different ways, But the only foundation that's acceptable to God is the one which he laid, and that is Jesus Christ. And we need to be sure that we're building on that foundation. We must be built, but be careful how we build. 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 15. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid a foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work, what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself be saved, yes, through fire. So we looked at that scripture earlier, but see, it's saying that we are building on this foundation. And the way we build on the foundation is by bringing other people in to Christ. And some will be saved, some will be lost of those that we bring in. Not everyone in the church will be saved. Ideally, that would be. But sadly, not everyone in the church is a faithful child of God, even though they may think they are. They're going to be among those, like those in Matthew 7:23, who say, "Lord, Lord, and we come to services every Sunday morning faithfully?" And he'll say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Was I only worth a Sunday morning visit for an hour? Did you come to class? Did you come on Sunday night? Did you take advantage, as we talked about this morning, of every opportunity to grow?" And many will have to say, "No, we didn't. We build with hay and stubble. That one's work will be burned up, but he'll be saved." And so it's so important for us to recognize the importance of how we build. And then we must offer up spiritual sacrifices. We were built for that purpose. 1 Peter 2:5. "You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And so we are a spiritual house. We're a holy priesthood. Our purpose is to offer up sacrifices acceptable to God. And that one main sacrifice is what we're told in Romans 12, 1 and 2, that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. So we are first of all a living sacrifice, and then we offer up the sacrifice of praise to God, which we will look at here in 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." And so we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Our purpose is to proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into light. And that's said in so many different ways. That's what Jesus said in the Great Commission. "Go into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." And so we are to proclaim the praises of God and bring other people to God. And that should be our main purpose. It was Jesus' main purpose. He came, Luke 19:10 says, to seek and to save the lost. And if he came to seek and to save the lost, and he went to that cross in our place, we need to take his place on this earth and start proclaiming the praises of him, preaching him, teaching him, and bringing others to him. That should be our purpose. So we must proclaim the praises of God and let others know what a wonderful God we have and why they need to be a part of that building that we're talking about. And then we must keep the building cemented together to make sure it's strong. Colossians 3:14, "But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." And so all these stones, mortar between them on this building. And what he's saying here is that mortar in the Christian building, the temple of God, is love. That's what holds us together. The strength of the building is to a great extent dependent upon the strength of the mortar. I looked at the house as we were coming by this morning. Had a fence and it looked real nice except for one spot. And it's all fallen down. And I know why. There's a pipe coming over that fence where they drain their swimming pool. And the water, constant water on that mortar and that brick caused it to collapse. On our house, we've got a place, did have, I think it's probably gone now, but when we bought it, you could see the crack in between the bricks on one corner. And we talked to them about it, and they said, well, you know, we all houses kind of settled a little bit, and it wasn't anything to worry about. And so we went in and bought the house, and they told us all we could do. We'd get a foundation repair people out to repair it and all that, and we could fill in the crack or whatever. And last time I looked, you can't see it, so I guess the ground has pushed back up and sealed that again. But the mortar is what holds the building together, and that's love. And love is presented in the New Testament as such an important part of our lives. And how the love between us, John, in 1st, 2nd, and 1st John particularly, talks about the loving your brother. That's the bond that holds us together, that keeps us cemented together in love, and keeps us there in that building and being appropriate for the building. It's kind of hard to put cement or on between wooden things. It just won't hold. Wood's going to rot and everything. So you got to have that cement, and you got to have the proper blocks, the building stones that are there for that. And it is that love that holds us together. And the New Testament talks so much about the importance of love and how we need to love one another and need to love God. As I mentioned this morning, it is the fulfilling of the law to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands fulfill the law and the prophets. And so that's the fulfillment of the law, is to love God. If we love God, we're going to keep his commandments. If we love our neighbor, we're not going to do anything to hurt him. And we're going to want to do everything we can to help them. See, a good neighbor is not necessarily just one that does never do anything wrong. It's the one that's willing to reach over and help you when you need help, to help you on your way. And so that's what we should be, to love God and to love our neighbor. And that fulfills the law. So there's a lot that we need to do and recognize our need in relationship to the church as a building. And we need to realize what our role in that is, as being living stones ourselves, and making sure that those that we bring in are taught appropriately and have that growth that was talked about this morning, of growing and developing as new Christians as a result of the teaching that we continually do to help them to be mature in their life as a Christian. So Jesus is the cornerstone and the foundation of the building. Each Christian is a living stone in God's building. And we need to ask the question, is God's building stronger because we're a part of it? Or are we the weak spot, where maybe the mortar's not quite as strong, and water's going to get in there and creep in, and that mortar's going to deteriorate? Is the building stronger because we're a part of it, or is it weakened because we're a part of it? So important for us to understand that and to make sure that we're making the building stronger as a result of our being a part of it. And most of you are. And so it's a wonderful thing to be a part. John talking this morning about all the people that offered to take him to the hospital for his test. That's the way this congregation is. If there's a need, you're going to find people that are willing to meet it and fulfill it. And so sometimes maybe more than others, but if we're aware of a need, we're going to see that somebody takes care of that. John took me to the hospital once to have a test. So it's sometimes reciprocal, even. And so, or I took John one way. We went together to the hospital. But anyway, we are a building, and we need to be sure that we are contributing to the strength of the building rather than the weakness of the building. Jesus talked about building on the rock and on the sand. And that song the young people sing in class and Vacation Bible School about the wise man built his house upon the rock. That's the foundation we need to have. And the winds come and the storms come, and it stood firm because it was built on a rock. That's Jesus. And so it doesn't make any difference what happens to us. We're built on that foundation. We will remain strong. But if you're built on the sand, you don't have a good foundation, then you're not going to stand. No way that you will be able to make it. So if we can help you tonight to be a part of the building, if you're not, as a child of God, you're a part of that building, and you become a child of God by repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and being buried with him in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life, being born into the family of God. And you become a part of that building, and you can start working to be a strong part of that building, helping it to be stronger and not weaker. If you as a Christian need to repent of things in your life that you think may have caused you to not be quite as strong as you need to be in the building of God, and you need to repent of that, then we'd be glad to pray for you at this time. Whatever need you might have at this time, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.